Okay, I titled this sermon The Secret Questions because Nicodemus came to Jesus secretly at night with his questions. But we have our questions too. Often we're embarrassed to ask our questions, and yet our questions can eat away at us. Maybe you were raised in the church, but still have questions about what you should believe. Maybe you struggle with the stories of creation in the Bible and the theory of evolution. Or maybe you never entered a church until you were an adult. Yes, there are people like that. When I was at Belen, I had the privilege of baptizing a mother and her daughter. And the mom had never been into church before she came, and she was an amazing person. Anyway, but maybe you're afraid to ask your questions because you think they're stupid. What about heaven? What about hell? And maybe you're new to the Presbyterian Church, and you wonder why we do things the way we do, but you're afraid to ask why. For heaven's sake, what does the word Presbyterian mean anyway? Okay, I can answer that one. Presbyterian comes from the Greek word presbyteros, which means elder. And Presbyterian refers to our form of government. We elect elders to govern and lead the church. We don't have a bishop. We don't have the pastor with unlimited power. In fact, pastor's power is very limited. The power to lead the congregation lies with our elders. And these are the people who serve on the session, which is our governing board. Okay, that's Presbyterian Polity 101. Let's move on. Or maybe you know that God wants you to love and care for your neighbors, but you have this guy that lives next door that you just can't stand. Or maybe you've worked on every committee in the church, but somehow you still feel insecure about your faith. Or you're troubled by the fundamentalist friends who ask you, do you know the day and the hour when you are saved? You don't have that kind of experience. And my answer to that question is, yes, I know the day and the hour I was saved. It was when Jesus was crucified and rose from the dead. That's when I was saved. Anyway, what are your secret questions? So Jesus came to Jesus at night, it says, and it stresses that, because Nicodemus had questions that he needed to ask privately. Number one. Number two, he did not want to be seen with Jesus because he was a leader of Israel, and he was afraid that he would be guilty by association. I don't know. He didn't want anybody to know that he was with Jesus anyway, regardless of his motivation. And it says he was a Pharisee, and the Pharisees were servants of the law. They were trained to know the scriptures. And they read the scriptures in Hebrew. They knew the rules of Jewish life inside and out. And yet, for Nicodemus, there was something missing. There was a yearning, an emptiness. And many church members have this yearning or emptiness too. We seek to do enough to deserve salvation, but we never find satisfaction. We never feel at peace inside. So Jesus said, if you want to enter God's kingdom, you must be born from above, or other translations say born again. And Nicodemus says, yeah, how can an old man like me be born again? Yet, I think he knew what Jesus meant. And for us, the question is, how can we make such a drastic change in my life that my life is completely new? For Nicodemus, the question, he spent his entire life learning to live by the rules, but now Jesus is telling him that's good, not good enough, that I have to give up my pride in keeping the law. keeping the rules and instead depend on God's grace? When we depend on God's grace, when we learn to depend on God's grace, whether that is a growing process over a long period of time, or whether it's a sudden recognition like a lightning bolt, it changes us. We discover that we can live by faith. We can accept ourselves as we are because God accepts us as we are. And we can forgive ourselves because God forgives us. And we can have new power to do God's work in the world because the Holy Spirit is given to us. There was a psychologist years ago, around the time of the Great Awakening in this country, who examined the people who have these sudden religious experiences of being born again. And he came up with a theory of the once born versus the twice born. And the once born is you're born and your life continues. And the twice born, you're born, but then you have this great emotional experience of being born again. And he came to the conclusion that there are two kinds of personalities at work here. The people who come to faith, who we labeled as the once born, your faith is a gradual growing process over years. And, you know, as it gradually grows, you increase, so your understanding and your acceptance of God's grace continues. Secondly, but the twice born are people who may have some training, may have gone to Sunday school, but never really got to them until suddenly they have this eye-opening or heart-opening experience of, oh my goodness, this is it. I'm finally recognizing that I need to accept Christ into my life. However you come to faith, the point is, whether it's a sudden eye-opening experience or a gradual experience over years, the point is we need to trust in God's grace for us. Not in what we do, but what God does for us. And when we receive God's grace, our life is transformed. And then, you know, we do good not to earn God's grace, but we do good things because we're grateful for what God has done for us. Anyway, John 3:16 gives us those wonderful words, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave us his son. It's not that we earned it. It's a gift. It's grace. And everyone who believes in him, everyone who believes or trusts in him, it's trusting in what God has done for us through Christ, not in ourselves. So here's the radical idea of Christianity. We are made complete and whole and fully alive, not by trusting in what we do, but by trusting what God does. And when we do that, our life is transformed. See, the miracle is that the perfect God loves imperfect people. An all-powerful God loves people who are unworthy and undeserving. And Christ came and gave up his life to save us, to show us this great, great love God has for humanity, and to rise from the dead to show us God's power over death. And this becomes the great change for us. We give up trusting our own efforts to improve ourselves, to make ourselves more worthy, and we trust Christ's sacrifice to make us whole. We trust God to change us. Well, I still have many questions. Is evolution the way humanity came into being? Or did God create a single man called Adam and a woman called Eve? Or did God create many people all at once, as the first creation story says? And the creation stories in the Bible are stories meant to contain truth. And even though they conflict with the order of creation and the way it happened and everything, they agree on some very important things: that God is the creator, that God's creation is good, basically, and that we human beings, as frail and sinful as we are the high point of God's creation, the very children of God. So anyway, okay, how old is this creation? Is it 6,000 years old, as some people would suggest by their interpretation of the Bible? Or is this creation 13.5 billion years old? Good question. And I like the science questions. Is the earth flat or is it round? You know, there are still people who believe the earth is flat. Is the earth the center of creation? Or is the earth just a small planet around a small star in an average galaxy? Is the earth a static, unchanging place, you know, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be? Some people say that's how the church budget works, but is it, you know, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be? Or is the earth a dynamic, changing place with tectonic plates moving and mountains rising and falling, and erosion doing its work? Anyway, all of these processes going on, is creation complete in 6 days, or is creation still continuing to go on? These are the questions I wrestle with. And how do we dig out, and this is the basic question, how do we dig out the truth of scriptures from these ancient understandings of the earth and ancient understandings of humanity? But how do we dig the truth out from this old way of thinking? Because I'm not ready to throw the Bible out either. I want to take the Bible seriously. I want to wrestle with it and dig out the truth and see what the message is there for us. So I have a lot of questions. But as I've asked the questions, I found some answers. And I believe at the core of all of this is we are called to trust God. We are called to have faith in what Christ has done for us. We have to give up our being good people and admit that we are sinners and trust God's grace to transform us, and trust God's love to work in our lives, to forgive us and make us more loving people. And we have to recognize our limited understanding. God is God, and we are not. We're always going to have doubts and questions, and that's good, because as we wrestle with the questions, our faith is actually increased. Our depth of understanding is deepened, and our love for God and God's creation and for one another is expanded. So go ahead, ask your questions. Go ahead, share your doubts, because we're meant to do that. Amen.